Good afternoon. It is a joy to be here with you, and I do bring love from your brethren in the Milwaukee class. We are going to pick up the account of Jacob when he was on his way to meet his brother Esau after being away for many years. The last time they saw each other, Esau had declared his intent to kill Jacob, Genesis 27:41. Now returning, Jacob simply wanted to be reconciled to Esau, but he feared Esau still wanted to kill him. News came to Jacob that Esau was coming out to meet him, and with 400 of his men, Genesis 32, verse 6. What reason could Esau be doing this except to slay Jacob and his family? Thus, Jacob was at a crisis point in his life. We too come across hard trials in our life similar to Jacob. The Lord permits these trials to come upon us for our spiritual good, Hebrews chapter 12. How can we approach these experiences? Looking at the example of Jacob, we note three things that he did while facing his crisis. First, Jacob prayed to God and sought God's direction in the matter. Second, he wrestled with the angel until he received a blessing during his trial. And last of all, Jacob memorialized his receiving of God's blessing. Upon hearing that Esau was coming to meet him, Jacob immediately prayed to God concerning the matter. His prayer is given in Genesis 32, verses 9 through 12. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. For I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. We see that there are basically four parts to Jacob's prayer. He begins in verse 9 by addressing God as the one which has led and guided him and his ancestors through their lives. He was the God who led Abraham and Isaac, and now he was the God who directed Jacob's life. Then Jacob confesses in verse 10 that God has been the source of all that he has gained in life. And in humility, Jacob realized that all these mercies he received were not things that he deserved. Jacob realized that he was truly blessed by God. Next, in verse 11, Jacob petitions God for deliverance from the hand of his brother Esau. He confesses to God his fear of Esau for himself and his family and asks God for his protection. And finally, in verse 12, Jacob ends his prayer by claiming God's promise. Jacob claimed this promise, the Abrahamic promise, as the basis of his hope and faith that God would see him through all the experiences of his life. Jacob's prayer provides a good model for the footstep follower of Jesus Christ. We can pattern our prayers after this example with its four main elements. Let us address our Heavenly Father as the only true God, who has directed the affairs of the body of Christ down through the age, and who now directs the affairs of our lives. Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. Second, let us approach with humility, realizing that every good gift and every blessing that we have received comes from God Himself. James 1:17. Third, let us seek our Heavenly Father's divine care and protection. In our case, not really for our flesh, but for our spiritual welfare, for the development of our new minds and our Christ-like characters. 1 Peter 5, 7, and verse 10. And finally, let us claim the precious promises that our Heavenly Father has given us, including that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews 13, verse 5. After making his petition known to God, Jacob sent his family a little ahead of him so that he might have some time alone. It is at this time that Jacob wrestled with the angel until dawn. We read in Genesis 32, verses 24 to 28. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." The man Jacob wrestled was an angel. He laid hold of him and declared that he wouldn't let go until the angel blessed him. Jacob continued to hold on through the night to the breaking of dawn. He even held on after the angel caused an injury to Jacob's leg, possibly a dislocated hip. In his struggle, Jacob displayed great zeal and desire for God's blessing. He really wanted an assurance that God was with him before he met with Esau. God saw this zeal and sincerity and was pleased through the angel to give his blessing to Jacob. What is the lesson here for us? I don't think the lesson is that we must wrestle with the Lord for a blessing as though we have to cry and beg for a crumb from his table. For our Heavenly Father has generously blessed us in many ways. But I think what we can take from Jacob's experience in wrestling with the angel is that level of zeal and sincerity that he had, and an understanding similar to Jacob's that we need and rely on our Heavenly Father's blessing to sustain us in our trials. We cannot faithfully make it through our trials alone, and thankfully, we don't have to. We are encouraged in Hebrews 4, verse 16, to come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Our Heavenly Father is pleased to provide his special sustaining care and grace to help us endure our trials. Before Jacob left to catch up with his family, he created a memorial of this place and his receiving God's blessing. Jacob named the place where he received his blessing in Genesis 32, verse 30. He called it Peniel, which means the face of God. By giving this name a place, Jacob created a special remembrance of this event to look back on. As he left at the break of morning to catch up with his family, he limped. He still had the injury to his hip. In fact, Jacob's physical strength now was clearly less than before his wrestling with the angel. But his confidence in the Lord had never been higher. Shortly thereafter, he and his family met Esau and his men. There was no fight, no battle, no slaying of Jacob and his family. Instead, there was a joyful reunion marked by Jacob and Esau embracing in tears. What lessons can we take from this for our walk? We receive of God's providential care and blessings throughout our walk. He is there to strengthen us and bless us in our hardest and most difficult trials. One way in which we can bolster our faith and show our appreciation for our Heavenly Father's care is by specially noting these blessings and acts of love from Him. When we look back in our experiences, noting God's love and care, it encourages us and builds our faith in Him for our next trial. Doing this also helps us maintain an attitude of humility and thankfulness. Last of all, we note how Jacob emerged from his trial with less physical strength but greater confidence in the Lord. Along similar lines, we may have trials and experiences where we emerge with less from an earthly perspective, whether it be physical strength or temporal means. At such times, let us have the mindset that Jacob had, one in which we are glad to trade in any earthly loss if it means receiving God's blessing and favor. And now I'd like to introduce our next speaker, Brother Bill Duggar.